Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go right into the Word of God this morning. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 through 14. You'll get the responding verses on the screen behind you. I want to kind of set you up as we're getting ready to read the scripture. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Any of you know what that is? Those of you who don't, you will. It's the celebration of the birth of the church, but I want to tell you on another side of it. You need to turn this down a little bit. It's a little bit too loud. Just bring it down a little bit because it's ringing in my ears. But I want to prepare you ahead of time that we're not just going to talk about the Pentecost experience, but God is going to allow you to really experience this actually in your own life. So I'm teaching on that today. I'll be teaching on it next week. And I want to just put this before you. Come with expectation today and next week, because God wants to do something very special in your life. So let's go into the reading the word, and we'll understand a little bit more about what Jesus was saying. Starting at verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in unto the end of the earth." "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 14 together, "And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication and toward Jesus and with his brothers." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come before you today, not in just an introductory manner, but Lord, in a preparatory manner for us to really understand not only the birth of the church, but Lord, the power that is available in the Holy Spirit to do great things in our lives. Lord, it's not just a static event that is historical, but Lord, it's a daily opportunity for us to be in touch and totally in sync with what you're doing. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be the teacher today, and Lord, I would be the one who would graciously extend your word of God to in the present moment that we could experience all that you have for us. Holy Spirit, be with us today. We'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of events that happen, and actually the focus, I don't know whether it's so much of a focus at this particular point, but I guess with some anticipation toward November, what's going to happen with the election. It's interesting. And some people are so intrigued, and other people are enraged, and all kind of things are going on. But beyond all the politicking and the endless rhetoric fueled with the amounts of dollars spent to sway the ultimate outcome, for the occupant of the Oval Office, we'll discover that their power and influence will never surpass that which was given to the church by Jesus Christ. It will never surpass the power of the Holy Spirit. He can overrule all of that stuff. And so I want to just introduce you or bring you to a place of understanding today that we really need to refocus our attention on him. We're not supposed to ignore our responsibility as citizens of this country. But look, consider these things before us today. First of all, have you allowed the forecast events yet to happen in the political arena to affect your response toward the things that pertain to you and your response to spiritual things? In other words, is your focus off kilter? I know that we should be mindful of the things going on, but you know something? We can get so fixated on what's going on in the world, we'll forget about the kingdom of God. Let me take you to the next little place. Have you allowed the postmodern philosophy to taint your views and passion for Jesus? And so you say, postmodern, what is that? I'll define it for you in a little bit. Matter of fact, how many of you know what postmodern is, that word postmodern means? Wave your hand at me. Very few of you do. But do you know what? You're in it. Whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, you are a recipient. You're in a particular place right now that you probably would never have chosen to be, but you're in it whether you like it or not. And I want to define it for you. Number three, have you fallen victim to the trap of allowing your worship and joy to diminish down to cultural narcissism, seeking to find things that will feed your need for personal validation? That's a big sentence. But I think most of you know what narcissism is. It means all about me. Whatever makes me feel good or whatever validates the things that I want in my life, in my neighborhood or whatever, that's all. God's going to heal you today. We're going to talk about, obviously, waiting on the promise of Jesus. What that means. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Very, 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 very familiar scripture. Here we go. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? I used to sing this song when I was a kid. I've been running for Jesus a long time. I'm not tired yet. I'll teach you that to you sometime. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Boy, that includes everybody. You're feeling kind of puny today? God will give you power. And those who have no strength, he will give you, fortify you in ways that you probably weren't anticipating. Even the youth faint and be weary. Shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on, give a shout to Jesus. Isaiah is not only being prophetic, but at the same time, this is a irrefutable guarantee of the Lord that was spoken many, many, many years ago. Let me unpack it a little bit. The Lord gives power to the weak. I got to start there because some people feel that they just don't have the strength that they really want to have. Jesus has always been an advocate for those who are poor and weak. Poor in spirit. Those are weak. But those who have spirits that have been devastated for any reason can trust Jesus to be the one to minister to their need. I don't want you to show your hands right now because it really isn't necessary, but some of you have gone through some devastating things in the last 7 days. It could have been a doctor's report. It could have been a financial situation. It could have been something on a personal level that you never thought you'd come to this particular ebb of strength. And somehow you just barely made it. But you said, if I can just make it to the house of God, I believe something will change. If that's you today, you don't have to wave your hand at me, but you can say, I'm ready. I'm a candidate for what God may want to do in me. How about this? The Holy Spirit of God is the only power that can help us with things that defy our ability to overcome obstacles. Because right now, you see no way out. I want to take you to the place where Jesus is introducing this the whole concept or idea or thought process of the Holy Spirit. Because in many cases, when Jesus, before he says this, he says, you know, they're thinking, oh, Jesus is going to, you know, he's going into heaven and we're done. But he says, wait a minute. I'm going to send you power to deal with whatever comes your way, not only just one time, but for the rest, until I come through the clouds, I'm going to empower you. Now let's talk about this postmodern thing for some of you who don't know. The postmodern philosophy of the world wants us to believe that there is no absolute version of reality. In other words, postmodern says this: the world deals with weaknesses by redefining weakness to mean there is no such thing as sin. That's what postmodernism says. That's not sinful. That's just a weakness that people have. It's not sinful, and we need to adjust our standards of behavior, or we need to find some particular therapy to work with this thing, because postmodernism says, don't call it sin, just call it a weakness of some sort, and we'll find a formula, or we'll find a particular group or help group to put them in to get them out of it. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. Because there's a lot of groups that help people. But when you become dependent upon that group to help you and you are not relying on the Holy Spirit, there's a problem. The only one who can help you is the Holy Spirit when he gets a hold of those folks to show them how to help you. There is no help outside of what God can do to deliver you. Let me take it one step further. They want to help you. God wants to deliver you. Ooh, I feel somebody going to get some help today. Thank you, Jesus. The world further defines reality to mean that there's nothing that will measure up to the standard of truth because it changes as time goes by. Okay. Here's some of you folks that you're going to see, I'm going to find out what his political views are. You probably will. Every view I have is incommensurate with what the Bible has said. But what we've done is said, well, there's valid things about people's, you know, propensities and their weaknesses and this type of thing. So we categorize them in certain groups that make people okay being that way when the Bible says it's not okay. I'm going to do the easier stuff now, and then shock will come later. Right now, people, they don't live together. They're engaged. Don't look at me funny. And some of them been engaged for 5 years. They engaged. When you gonna get married? Don't be talking about I'm engaged. I'm committed. But some of you get disengaged. I can't remember exactly the statistics, but of those people that are in this particular way, about 43% of them will have a rather dramatic breakup. And their life will be worse than it ever has been because they thought at some particular point there would be some stability in that. But it's kind of like the postmodernism says, well, you know, there's no such thing. Those things really aren't necessary. You know, if you just whatever makes you feel good. I'm going to get the Holy Spirit part, but I got to give us a real definition here. The Holy Spirit defines life from God's perspective of his understanding that it is unsearchable and can only be known by trust and belief in his sovereignty. There is no problem that you are facing right now here physically, emotionally, or psychologically that God can't handle. Well, the Word of God stands firmly on the foundation that those who wait on the Lord will receive the strength they need for themselves and for others. Now, here's the deal. John baptized people with water as a sign of their repentance of their sins and cleansing from their past. And so man has the limitation as to how much he can do to deal with issues that men face daily. There's limitations. There's some things that it's just not going to happen. So what does that mean? Postmodern philosophy teaches that truth needs to be broken down into simpler parts and reconstructed in each person so that they can determine whether or not it's acceptable to him or to her. In other words, truth to you and truth to me are two different things. There is no standard. Oh. You say, is that really what we're doing? Uh-huh. All the way from our judicial system to other different types of things. Now, this is not a rant, or this is not my thing trying to push over a view on you, but I'm going to get to the part that's really serious that will help us. Here's what the Lord says, is that it's going to be important for us that those who wait on the promise of the Lord will find a strength that cannot be replicated or overcome by sin or circumstances. The world would want you to believe that the sin that's captured your life cannot be broken, that you'll always be that way. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about generational sin, because that's one of the things that we get involved with. There are certain propensities in certain families, like, for instance, and again, do not take offense toward this, but there are some proven facts that people who are children of alcoholics will have a propensity and sometimes a situation where they will be alcohol affected. Even children in the womb will be affected by alcohol. So what the world will tell you is there is no remedy for that. You are locked in. Sorry. But Jesus. The Bible says the keys to death and hell, he got them from the devil. Hand them over. And I can unlock the formula that's been put in your DNA and change it miraculously that you'll no longer be held captive to that any longer. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, it doesn't matter. Jesus can do it. Wow. Now let me just give you a little bit more hope as far as this is concerned. He says, well, the time of the season will never be subject to our timetable or interpretation. So that means God's authority to do what he will as he wills will never be subject to the will of man. Never will. What does that mean? The promise of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer equips them to handle whatever situation or problem they are confronted with. Hence, that's the reason why we need to be filled with the Spirit. The things that you can't handle, he can handle. You say, what? Is that possible? Absolutely it is. God has things, God has things that will remain under his authority only. Back to verse 7, it says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. You know what? There's some things God ain't going to tell you. Because you can't handle it no way. Some people, you just want to know so you can know. You ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to change. I just need to know. No, you don't. You need to change. Knowing is not changing. Ever heard somebody say, I know my life's a wreck? No, you don't. Because if you really knew how much a wreck it was, you'd do something about getting it changed. I know I'm selfish. That's just an announcement. I'm going to stay this way. You don't want to change. You just want an excuse. Oh, my goodness. In order for us to accomplish our purpose and destiny, we must put our trust and confidence in the Word of God and the Bible, which means this. Our belief in the Word cannot be couched in a reply. I believe in the Bible as I understand it. That's postmodern philosophy. So my interpretation of this, in light of my circumstances is. Really? Your filter is broken. We must resolve the gap between orthodoxy and orthopraxy. He's like, what's orthopraxy? Let me give you orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is a system of beliefs that's built around, rock solid around biblical values, like say an orthodox Jew, an orthodox, you know, person who's in the Greek Orthodox Church. They take the word of God, they take their particular principles, and this is the way it is. However, orthodoxy and orthopraxy, here's the difference. You know what it says, but your orthopraxy is what you actually practice. Oh, so some of you know what you should be doing, but you're not doing it. I know I should repent, but I'm not ready yet. Orthopraxy is correct conduct, both ethical and liturgical, as opposed to grace, faith, emphasizing correct belief. What I'm saying to you is that God wants to put our life into alignment with what his word says. Now, when we're waiting on the Lord, we must overcome our tendency to look at that which was already left, which has already left our sight. That means we often find ourselves in a daze of fixation over events that have long passed by. You know why sometimes I can't change? Because I'm stuck in something that happened to me. I know I'm not alone. Because every time you want to put your foot forward, you think about what happened to you when you did it the last time. He said, ain't going there. But you know what? Jesus is the one who sets you free, that will allow you to go to places you have never been before, because it's by his power and by his might and by his spirit that you have no longer the fear of failure in your life. See, the devil will lock you up in fear of failure, and so you'll stay in that same place that you've been all your life, saying, well, one day I'm gonna change. No, you're not. See, how do we get on this subject? We never left it. Every day the Lord gives us is a new day to experience his power and his presence. So let me transition into this whole idea about worship, persevering in worship. Simply means this. Verse 14. This is what the setup was before the advent of the Holy Spirit coming. And I want to set you up for success this week, for those of you who have not experienced the Holy Spirit on this particular realm, and for those of you that have. Because the one thing I need to tell you is that, oh yeah, I've experienced the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember in 1985. I went to a prayer meeting and Lord, the Jesus came in the room and I spoke in tongues and oh honey, it was just wonderful. And that was the last time you and he had any time together. I want to let you know it's not an experience. It's a daily fellowship walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I threw ghost in there for a reason, because that's what they said when I was a kid. Holy Ghost. He's a Holy Spirit now. Spirit. I'm going to grab the Holy Ghost myself. I don't know whether I can say this or not. I'm going to say it anyway. The Holy Ghost will scare some of the hell out of you. Cool, Jesus. He comes on the scene. And the devil knows he's no match for the Spirit of God. He's got to go. The things that you used to be afraid of, I was, oh, wait a minute. Holy Spirit has got his number and he will tell you how to navigate and how to unravel some of this stuff that's been thrown on you, and you'll be able to rise up against it and say, uh-uh, not anymore. Well, here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. The Holy Spirit is working in us a culture of worship as we wait on him. This is an amazing story. And I inserted it here. The Holy Spirit told me to make mention of this because it will draw a parallel through our experience. Hannah rose after she had finished eating, drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting at the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Just hold that right there. Let me tell you the story of Hannah. Hannah was being touted and she was being, you know, she wanted to have a child and she couldn't. And it so affected her that it anguished her soul and she just could not get through it. It was tough. And some of you, I should say some of us, I'll put myself in that category. There are certain things in your life that you really wanted God to do, but you just can't get through it. It's just anguish in your soul. It's like she's experiencing. Right, let's go to the next couple of verses here. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And then it happened, as she was praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Let's hold it right there. Why do you want what you want? Well, because I've always wanted it. Because other people have got it, and so I want it too. You've got to want for the right reason. Amen. And see, God knows your heart. Some of you just want to be like everybody else. You don't want to change. You just want to be, well, they've got it. I want it too. Really? But here's what Hannah says. That which I want so dearly, I will experience this, but God will always have first choice and first bid of the thing that is the most primary thing in my life. He will get first pick on everything. You're not ready to have God's best or his anointing on your life until you're willing to give up everything and give it back to him. You know what that's called? Worship. Some of you came to church this morning, you waited for your favorite song. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. That's what your worship is like. The others out there, well, they'll get to it pretty soon. Yeah, that's what, this is amazing love. And then they're like, that's the only part you like. I'm just going to testify on you. That's a sin and a shame. You come here waiting for that line that you like, and then you're ready to bust a move. I know how you do. Worship is never about you. It's always about him. And Hannah, she's having a rough time. Her husband doesn't understand it. Her husband's other wives of this type of thing are taunting her and beating up on her. But watch what happens. Then it happens. She's playing. Okay, let's get to the last little part here. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. You know, that's a parallel to when the Holy Spirit came. Because if you look over, we'll look at that next week. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, oh, these folks are drunk. They're just acting all beside themselves. But I'll tell you what, she didn't care. Because watch this. How long will you be drunk and put your wine away from you? But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Folks, if you want to have change in your life, you need to pour out your soul before the Lord, and you don't need to care about what anybody thinks or anybody perceives about you. This is not a glamour situation. This is a time for you to have business with God, and I guarantee you, you will find the impartation of the fulfillment of what God has for your life. Let me finish the story real quickly. And so, you know, shortly after that, she goes for the Lord. She has a child, and she does exactly what she says. She gives him back to Jesus, back to God at that point. But even though they did not know exactly what or who they were waiting for, they were obedient to the instructions of Jesus. If we're going back into Acts now. Because he says, now, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. You know, it's tough to know, to go someplace, to be obedient, and not even know what or who you're waiting for. I want to insert something in your spirit. And I pray the devil never takes it from you. Wait with glorious expectation. Because everything that God gives you is good. That being the case, after having seen Jesus, their focus was on the promise of what he'd made. Now, I need to tell you another thing about belief. Belief is always a choice. No one can make you believe anything that you choose. Now, you can say, oh, I believe in that. Your actions will tell what you believe. Well, I believe such and such. If you believe it, you're doing it. Otherwise, it's just a theoretical proposition that you may sometimes apply to hopefully people will think that you're in the groove with them. What does that look like? We'll discover what we truly believe as time goes by. And so they're going to be waiting on Jesus. And our hope and trust must be built upon Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Well, I'm going to skip over the actual account of when this happens to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Waiting on the Lord is not always comfortable. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were two committed believers, and because they were obedient to God, they got thrown in jail. Can I tell you this much? When you're obedient to God, it won't always turn out the way you think it will. Sometimes doing God's will put you in a very awkward place. But whatever happens, I want to tell you, one thing should not change. We should always be ready to worship God regardless. Because the scripture just kind of paints the picture, you know, and they're like, you know, and suddenly a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisoners were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, the other part of the scripture says, is around about midnight. Now, what in the world are they doing singing at midnight? Huh? At the time when you'll be the most miserable, the Holy Spirit can activate you in such a way that you forget about what time it is and you begin to pray and sing hymns to God. And it creates an atmosphere that people saying, how in the world? These folks have been beat within an inch of their life and they're praying and they're singing hymns to God. What in the world is going on? Well, praying and worshiping, their strength and the spirit was renewed as they chose to worship God in the midst of a great trial. I want to tell you a formula that will defeat the enemy and will give you a strength that you thought you could never have. In the midst of the most devastating problem you've ever had, pray and worship. Let me take you to a real sinful situation. If you turn, I won't ask you to go there. I know the scripture pretty well. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 says this. And then it happened, when kings go out to war, that David made a decision not to go out to war and stayed home. Some of the circumstances we get ourselves in are when we make a decision that's contrary to the will of God. Can I get an amen? And some of the worst mistakes you ever made that I've ever made is when I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I was someplace else where I shouldn't have been. Got that? This is the setup for David and his encounter with Bathsheba. So he's supposed to be out to war, and he's up there on the balcony looking over, oh, this mighty king. And guess what he gets? His binoculars, which he didn't need. He sees lady taking a bath. Now, had he been on the battlefield, he wouldn't see the lady taking the bath. Just as simple. And you know the story, he gets all of her and calls her in there and they get together and they have a child and he does a bunch of other type of stuff. And then he, you know, he betrays the fellow's, this lady's husband and gets him killed and on and on and on. But it comes down to one thing, that a prophet confronts him and says, you know, God really blessed you. He says, yeah, he did. God really blessed me. It's about to happen. He says, and after all God did, you went out and took somebody else's wife. You are the man. But I want to tell you why this story is so significant and why God let it be in the Bible. He said, well, this sounds like, you know, Days of Our Lives. You know, Search for Tomorrow. You know, All My Children. You know. How do I know this? I saw them on TV. I have never watched one of them crazy shows. If you watched it one time, you've seen them all. Anyway. So the deal is, he says, you're the man. But immediately, David repents. And Nathan the prophet says, God has forgiven you. He says, but I want to tell you something. There will be consequences. See, some of us think, God's going to erase everything. It's going to be perfectly fine. New, everything's brand new. Mm-mm. Sugar, you done sowed some seeds, and you will have a harvest. And part of the harvest was the child of this particular relationship dies. But I want to tell you what David's response was to that death. Once they were afraid to tell him that the child had died. But David went in before the Lord, he cleaned himself up, and he worshiped. Some of you are sitting in this room right now mad at God over stuff that you did, had no business doing, and you need to be on your face worshiping God that he allowed you to stay here. I got a word of prophecy for you. You better get over that nonsense. Get on your face before God and thank him he gave you another chance. Oh, glory to God. Waiting on the Lord will bring freedom to the people who are around us. This is the part I love about this, the scripture. And suddenly the earthquake and the foundation of the earth was shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Do you know what the power of worship is? The power of the presence of the Holy Spirit is that as we are in worshiping God, chains are falling off people without an altar call. Can you believe that? The Holy Spirit starts working through you that you're praising God. The enemy gets intimidated and says, man, this ain't working. I need to get out of here. You know, I need to take that spirit off of them and go someplace else because they're about to reject me. And you know the devil doesn't like rejection? Guy's kind of a punk, you know? I said that. He doesn't do rejection. I'm just about done. Our prayers and worship should be directed to God, and he will send his power in a manner that will bring glory to himself. God will move heaven and earth to allow us to know the abundance of his grace and his mercy. And when the Holy Spirit is present, he will minister health and peace. And so here's Paul and Silas, they're in jail. They start worshiping God. The whole ground shakes. The doors are open and everybody's chains fall off. I'm not trying to put to you or try to use some sort of spiritual whammy on you, but I know this much, that when we are in concert with the Holy Spirit, supernatural things happen. I'll explain that more next week. I have a couple of little points I need to make and we're done. When we wait on the Lord, we will discover that the things that we thought were impossible. Soaring above our problems, we will see God's perspective. Furthermore, we will find strength to endure the race that is before us, and we will not be overwhelmed or overcome by things that we must face. Now, consider this. If we seek miracles, you probably won't find them. I'm on a hunt for miracles. Oh, there's God. And you run all over the place. But what about this? When you seek God with all your heart, miracles will find you. I dare you to come seeking God. I dare you to put everything on the altar, as I used to say back in the old days. Put it all on the altar. And miracles will find you. The thing that you thought would never happen, Jesus will do that. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is waiting on us to be in a place of absolute, unconditional surrender. God has you right where he wants you, even if it's not where you want to be. I got to say that for somebody else. God has got you right where he wants you, even if it's not where you want to be. I got to get out of here. God said, you ain't going nowhere. I'm not finished with you here yet. So get over your bad attitude and dig into Jesus, and I guarantee that God's going to do something. There'll be a breakthrough like you've never seen before in your life. You know why you want to get out of there? The devil is the one who's agitating you, because God's got purpose for you. He's got direction for you, and the devil's scared. He's trying to get you out of there. See, there's one thing when God takes you out. There's one. The other thing is when you take yourself out. Ooh, I know that's marinating on somebody. Praise Jesus. Well, don't look for the exit searching for an opportunity. But search for, I should say, before searching for an opportunity to allow God's glory to be worked in and through you. Worship team, make your way up here, and that'll slow me down a little bit. I'm just about done. Miracles often take longer than we want to wait. Sound familiar? We learn to appreciate the things that we have invested our most valuable possession in. And you know what that is? Time. You have no more precious commodity in your life than time, because it's the only thing you will never get back. The time you invested in this service today, about an hour and a half, you'll never get it back. Here's the last thought. Strength does not come from the things you can do. When we apply our faith in Jesus to overcome the things that we thought we could never overcome. And I say that today for some of you sitting in this room today, there are things that you face right now that the devil, or maybe history, or even family tie links have told you you'll never overcome. I need to tell you today, that's not true. Let me get a little stronger with you. That's a lie. God is here to work deliverance for you. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit has come to empower you that you might be a tool in his hands. Because remember, Paul and Silas, they're just there worshiping God and this type of thing. They start worshiping God, and all of a sudden, the power of God falls, and everybody gets set free. Wouldn't that be amazing if God used your personal circumstance to set other people free around you? As we serve the Lord with our whole heart, the Spirit will empower us to do things that you thought were impossible. Everyone bow your heads right now. Everybody. Can we do the song, Say the Name of Jesus? Because the reason why I want us to do that, there's something about that song because it's going to loose some people up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everyone keep your heads bowed. There's something the Holy Spirit's telling me right now about some people in this room right now. There's several people in this room right now, you believe that there's a curse over your life. And you feel a heaviness in your spirit. And sometimes it centers around habits, but most of the time it just centers around the fact that you just can't get where you want to go. If you want to be set free, I want you to lift your hand right now. Because God wants to lift that curse off you. Lift it up high, lift it up high where I can see it. I see you, young man. I see you over here. I see you over there as well. Stand up on your feet. Stand up. There's three more people need to be standing with them. Because you know how I know that? Because the Holy Spirit told me, there's a fear factor in here where the devil makes people fearful. You that are already standing, you stay standing. Three more people stand up right now because Jesus is going to set you free. Go ahead and do it. The paralysis of fear keeps people in the darkness. But God's able to do it. Just can wait another moment and as we go through this. Jesus. The word threat came to my mind, and the enemy will threaten you, but there's no power that can overcome you. We'll wait just another moment, then we're just going to move on. There's others of us here in this room today that says, you know what? I need to surrender things in my life to the Holy Spirit that have kept me in bondage ever since I can remember. And I'm ready to do it today. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Don't just wait for something else. Stand up now and let Jesus do it. If that's you, stand up. That's right. Stand up. That's right. The last group of people, you people that are still standing, just wait there for a moment. We'll have you come forward in just a moment. There's this last group of people here, and this is significant. The enemy will make you feel unworthy and feel like you're not worth it. But I want to let you know that Jesus believes you're worth it. And his love will overwhelm you today. If you're ready to accept Jesus' love in your life, to change your situation, I want you to stand up. Not out of fear, but out of love for Jesus. Let him do it. God bless you. I see you back there. Yeah. Somebody else says need to do that. Yeah. Those of you that are standing, all of us are going to stand in a moment. We're going to ask you to make your way down here front. There'll be people to pray with you. Do not stay in your seat because the Lord has already set you up for success. So as everyone else stands, you make your way forward. We're going to pray for you. Just step out right now. Come. In Jesus' name, come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.